throughout life all of us have seen and experienced defeat or failure in one form or another. The reasons behind these disappointing times can be many and varied. Some of the reasons may be understandable and well out of our control. Some of the reasons may have been due to very predictable circumstances with a high probability of not being successful. But then there are those times when the reason is that of overconfidence and the emphasis, time, or energy needed are not given, since we think it is a shoo-in or that it is no way for success not to happen. How many times have you seen this in sports and athletics? It is not unusual that a superior team or an athlete goes into a contest with an acknowledged inferior opponent and then ends up losing. These are called upsets and can be attributed to overconfidence. Overconfidence leads to a laid-back attitude and most often a lack of preparation because the opponent is deemed to be a pushover. The effort is not there. It happens among the pros and amateurs and can be avoided by not letting up, by being overconfident. Now, this can happen also in all of the endeavors of life. In school, by being overconfident and taking an exam, and therefore not studying that much. It can happen in presentations and performances and in teaching. It can happen in politics. It can happen when taking on any task which may and should take time to know and prepared for all aspects which that task may present, but is all taken for granted. Failures and defeats, when they come at the hands of overconfidence and being ill-prepared, are totally inexcusable. On the other hand, perhaps they just may be necessary in order to be a wake-up call for the future. Too often, though, they are quickly forgotten or rationalized away. Sometimes it seems as though we never learn. Could it be that as a nation, we as a people have become overconfident in our way of life and our thoughts of superiority, that we have lost sight of what it takes to maintain and adjust to an ever-changing technological world? Could it be that we have lost our sense of self-worth as increasingly we are on the slippery slope of being manipulated and controlled by the greed of a few? Therefore, the value of human life itself is being downgraded, and the toll is found in the statistics of murder and mass murder, as we have just witnessed. To rest on the so-called laurels of the past may just lead us to the past of a societal dark ages. To rest on one's laurels is to give in to the past and deny the possibilities of the future. It also gives room for a declining motivation and even the loss of desire for an ever-growing contribution to life itself. We can easily fall into the trap of saying, I made it, or we have made it, and by doing this, lose it all. This is what Paul was writing about to the Philippians. Paul himself had reached what could have been conceived as being the pinnacle of the Jewish life. His life met all the criteria in fulfilling the law. He had come from the prestigious tribe of Benjamin. And as he said, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. He was also a keeper of the law, in that he was a Pharisee. To top it all off, he was so jealous, zealous, that he persecuted the early church. For after all, he was involved in the stoning, the grueling death of Stephen. His life epitomized the most righteous of the Jews. Paul would have been considered to have reached religious perfection. His salvation was thought to have been obtained. But then his life abruptly changed. He was confronted by Jesus, which would eradicate all that thought of being perfect in God's will. He suddenly found out he was not that perfect person. All of the past accomplishments were now worth nothing. He wrote, "Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ." In light of following this Christ, Paul saw that all the earthly gains now had no worth whatsoever and had to be cast aside. He said, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." He had found that all of the pride and self-righteousness that he had in living the law was not the life which Christ proclaimed. What was important was the righteousness which comes from God through faith, and not the righteousness deemed by mankind. It is sharing and living this life in Christ, the life of God's love and forgiveness, which is the will of God. Paul then recognized that so long as he lived in the flesh and had the temptations and desires of the flesh, he would not reach that goal of already sharing in the promise of the resurrection. He again writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own." He goes on to emphasize that his salvation was his goal in life, and that it was not his as a birthright, but required his life pursuit in this life in Christ. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press onward towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. No, Paul was about to rest on his laurels, the laurels of his past, not even the laurels after his conversion. Overconfidence in all the past living and even in any kind of words of dedication to this life in Christ, and to say, I have made it, is the fastest way of losing all that we have said or done in the past. No, that is not the way of Christ. That prize which we live is no earthly prize with rewards in the here and now. The prize is that of being in God's eternal living presence. This life in Christ is one which is continuing process. No sacrifice, no act of love, no words of commitment, no ceremony of acceptance of Jesus in our lives is the end all of what this life in Christ is all about. To think that way is to deny what God through Jesus has said. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Life upon this acceptance of Jesus does not fall into some state of dormancy, which says, now that I am in God's grace, everything is fine, and I can go and live the way I wish. That is being deadly overconfident and does not see all of life as being lived in the pursuit of this life in Christ. This is not following Christ, but just merely meeting him. Following him takes nothing for granted, but demands that we, as Paul says, must press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. To be his followers is to realize that God's grace is always there for us. God's love is always reaching out to help us along the path towards eternal love. God's grace is always there when we may falter, turn back, or try to rest on our laurels, or be overconfident and not actively pursue this life in Christ. He is always there with his grace extending forgiveness to us. He is there picking us up, giving us new hope and assurance. But there is that goal for us and is within our reach. You know, we as Christians, we as the church, must never become complacent and say that we have arrived. If we say this, then our goal is of the flesh and earthly measures of success. As long as we have life and breath, no matter what accomplishments we have achieved, as an institution, or as individuals, or as a society, or as a nation, we cannot become complacent. We cannot become overconfident. We cannot rest on our laurels of the past. For that is not the life in Christ. We cannot lose sight of the central message of this life, and that is love. Unfortunately, we are witnessing when a society becomes divisive and filled with hate, and our political affiliations become our God. We then live in the flesh and flesh only. In this, there is no room for this life in Christ, and our life is a failure. That is when life itself becomes of little value beyond that of self, and even that is in danger. This then produces the tragedies of the carnages in our streets, in our homes, in our schools, in our places of business and entertainment. Like Paul, we must press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is a total lifelong commitment until we enter that new life when we cast aside the flesh. We must move on to actively live the value of the God-given gift of life, immersed in the healing power of His love. That is a message. We must move on to actively live the value of the God-given gift of life, immersed in the healing power of His love. Then we may find our future, and therein can our future only be. Without that, we are doomed. Amen.